Well, we're back with another episode of our Getting to Know series, and I'm very grateful to have not just a good manager and, you know, someone who's very well respected in the Welsh game, but a good friend as well. Ewan Williams has joined me on the podcast this week. Ewan, we almost didn't happen today. Someone on.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to say.
I forgot it was a Zoom. Sorry, Jay.
But yeah, thank you very much for joining me. Crazy times we're living in. Everyone's been keeping safe and well on your end, though, I hope. How's everyone been?
Yeah, well, good. Thank you, Jay. It's been quite a surreal time, hasn't it, for everyone? But hopefully we're over it to a certain degree now, and hopefully we can start back with football soon.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully you won't be attempting another playing comeback. I hope you've been banned from that.
I have. I think I'm the fittest I've ever been at the moment, but no, I don't think I'll be venturing back as a player anytime soon. I've learned my lesson the hard way.
I was thinking actually before I phoned you, I was like, has anyone else I know probably spent more time in casts or boots over the last 5 years than they have in shoes?
I think I'm in I'm on first name terms with everyone in the plaster centre in Ysbyty Gwynedd in Bangor here.
what we like to do with these podcasts, I'm not sure if you listened to any before, but it's just to get to know the personalities and the people in our game in Wales. And certainly, you know, I was thinking before this, obviously you had a very good playing career, and after you've been a manager and on the touchline and sort of behind the scenes for the last few years, and it almost feels like you've been doing that for as long as you were playing, in a way. I think it's 2015, and I know that's not that far away in terms of time past sort of thing, but it feels like so much has happened since then. And you know, you were only 29, I think, when you started. I mean, when you decided to take that step and become a manager or a coach or whatever, I mean, could you have imagined it going the way it has? Because it's been full of drama, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's been a topsy-turvy career to date. But surprise, surprise, I was struggling with injuries towards the back end of my career. And I remember going shopping on my crutches again to Tesco, following the wife and the trolley around the aisles in Tesco. And I think it was Austin Roberts who said to me one day, he just shook his head and said, you know, it's about time you thought about a coaching career. And that's how it kind of happened, really. So I started my C licence about 6 years ago in Treboth, funny enough. And luckily enough to finish my pro licence over Christmas.
And it's one of those things, I guess. I mean, I obviously do a little bit of coaching myself in a different sport. I remember when I first started coaching, you know, I had to be dragged kicking and screaming into doing it because I didn't want to. I couldn't imagine it. But now I'm 5 or 6 years in and I love it. You know, was it a similar experience for you or?
It was quite a weird one, really. I always believed I had the knowledge to become a good coach, but I never thought I'd become a manager. I remember sitting in the interview with Carnarvon Town with Gareth Parry by my side, and the intention was to go at it together as joint managers, if you like. But the board and Gareth himself weren't too comfortable with that. They wanted myself to kind of lead the way. And yeah, it was just a plunge into the unknown, really. And I remember one of the covies asking me in the interview, you know, how do you deal with pressure? But, you know, I work as a project manager in the nuclear industry, and, you know, my answer was, you know, try delivering a multi-million pound project on time, you know, within budget. So that's the type of pressure that I was used to dealing with. So, it just spiralled from there, really, and thankfully got off to a successful start.
And I was reading earlier, you know, the statement that Carnarvon made after you left there, and you know, I think they summed it up best themselves. You know, that you took the club to places that they hadn't been able to reach before. That's not the exact words they used, but it was something along those lines. When you got there, I mean, was that the aim? Because obviously you won the league, then you won the cup, and you didn't get promoted. And we'll get onto that in a minute, but. Could you have imagined that going as well as it did? Because you did staggeringly well there.
Yeah. There was when I first took over. Obviously, the previous manager, to be fair to him, Lee Dixon, had done a good job himself in kind of rediscovering the club because they'd been through torrid times, and that gave me kind of a platform, but there was still a bit of a disconnect between the fans and the club itself. What I mean by that is there wasn't a really fresh relationship between the fans and the players and the staff. So I decided to go local, you know, use local contacts that I had, you know, bring the likes of Jay Gibson back into the club, and just other kind of local based players, really. You know, Joe Williams's, Toby Jones came in, Gareth Jones-Evans from Pwllheli, done a really good job. And then I kept the core from the previous manager. And yeah, I believed in the squad. I believed in myself. They bought into what we were trying to do. I think I was quite busy, given it was my first job in management. So everything was done properly and professionally. And I think that's what they mean by taking it to another level is, you know, we did everything from, you know, testing to analysis to all kinds of stuff. And thankfully, it kind of paid off. But yeah, you know, we won the league and cup double. I was lucky enough to win manager of the year. And although I do believe in myself as a manager, I believe more in the players, and I don't think I would have done it without them. But yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better start, especially, you know, we didn't get off to the best of starts during the season. I think we drew a couple and lost. And I remember we were 1-0 down away at Denby, and the crowd were kind of starting to think, you know, have I got the experience? And then Breezy turned the game on its head and scored the winner for us, and we just kicked on from there.
And I only mentioned Jay because you brought him up, but you know, you've worked with, there was some personalities in that changing room, there was some fiery people in there.
Yeah.
How do you, as a 29-year-old manager with no experience really, you know, to be honest, how do you go in there and get them all on the same page?
You just have to go head first, you know, you just have to clash and you just have to earn the respect. And yeah, Jay's a good example. You know, we're probably best of friends off the pitch, but when we work together, it's either really smooth or it's really rough. But you just, you know, it's football at the end of the day. It's, you know, you have to kind of concentrate on that 3 or 4 hours you've got with the lads on a Saturday and then obviously in training. But yeah, if I'm kind of one that believes in doing things properly, and then, you know, if people don't want to follow that route, then that's the way football goes. But yeah, you just have to deal with different personalities, different characters, and just go into it head on, which is what I did at the time.
Did you ever sort of, was it ever in your mind that you could fail or?
Yeah, oh, 100%. What, you know, I was probably, you know, really scared when I first took over. It was kind of, you know, walking into the unknown, because, you know, Carnarvon's a big club and, you know, high expectations, and rightly so, because of the, you know, the passionate fans they've got. And I have failed in my career, in my management career. But again, you know, you have to take the rough with the smooth. You can't expect to be winning games 100% of the time. You've got to learn how to lose games as well. And thankfully, you know, I've learned a great deal through the tough times, probably more than I have done through winning games and winning leagues with Carnarvon Town.
And what were the highlights? I mean, the trophies obviously are a big thing for your time at Carnarvon, but were there particular moments or games or victories that stand out for you?
Yeah, I think the Kevin Druids away in the first season, we were on a bit of a run, really. I think we were 14 games unbeaten at the time. I think we'd won the 14 games, if my memory serves me right. But yeah, the Kevin Druids, I remember waking up that morning, although we were denied promotion, we needed to go to Kevin Druids to win the game, to win the league. And I remember waking up thinking, we're going to win this game today. I just had a feeling. I remember getting to the ground and Paul Evans, the secretary, or the chairman, coming up to me asking how I felt. And I said, I'm really calm. I believe we're gonna win this game today. And then we went with a system that was different to what we'd played throughout the course of the season, which I think threw Kevin Druids big time. We went with a 4-diamond-2, and we were 4-0 up at half-time. Everything came off, the patterns, the game plan. I must have changed shape about 3 times in the first half just to keep them guessing, and we scored every time. So that's the best game, I think, that sticks out. And there's a couple more, like the Llanfair Cyrenian away in the Welsh Cup, where we won 7-0 as well. And then I think everyone within our change room, we'll always bring up the Rayad at away game, purely because, you know, I said before the game that if we'd win that game, we'd win the league. And it was before the Ken Druids game. We were down to 9 men after 20 minutes. So it was a case of a goalkeeper, a back four sticking narrow the width of the box, and then a midfield four just banking right in front of them. And then we had players like Darren Thomas, I think Brookwell as well, who then just broke and tried to get something for us. And yeah, my head went in the first half. I said a few things in the changing rooms at halftime, which Jay Gibbs and everyone keeps reminding me of. And then, yeah, God knows how, but we managed to win the game 2-0. Jay scored an unbelievable free kick from about 35 yards. And then I think it was Rob Jones or Darren Thomas scored the second. And that game was just, unbelievable.
And obviously you've worked with the man who's now known as the, has long since been known as the Covey Messi. just how good is he in your eyes?
Oh, he's unbelievable. I was he let me down in my first season because he decided to go to Aberystwyth, to sign for Aberystwyth, which I don't mind really because, you know, he was stepping up to the Welsh Premier League. But thankfully, we managed to get him back. He picked up the phone and said that he couldn't do the travelling, and we welcomed him back with open arms. And yeah, he's a match winner on his day. He's just a lovely character. You have to keep him on a leash though. But, you know, I think this season has probably been one of his best seasons. He's taken to the Welsh Premier League like duck to water. And I think, you know, he's still got years left in him because he's naturally fit and such a likeable lad. He's probably one of the best that I've worked with, to be honest.
And those, you talk about the best you've worked with. I mean, you haven't necessarily worked with the fans, but you've worked under them and worked against them. I mean, a passionate bunch of fans you might not find anywhere else compared to them. You know, they're some bunch of supporters, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they you know, it's a bit of a love-hate relationship. You know, they've given me a bit of stick over the last couple of years, but I just look at it as if, you know, I must have done something right for them to give me that kind of stick, which I understand because that's football, you know. I was ambitious. I had an offer to go a step higher to the Welsh Premier League, and there's no guarantees in football, and I probably rang every individual in the Welsh FA Trust when the offer was put to me to get their kind of advice on the offer. And yeah, they all said the same, you know, you need to take it, you know, if you are ambitious, you need to go for it. And and that's what I did. And, you know, they haven't forgiven. Well, I think some have forgiven me up to now. But yeah, it's my fault, really, because I should never have bitten on social media. But yeah, that's me all over.
And we didn't quite touch on it there, but you mentioned, you know, you didn't get promoted that season where you won the league because of licensing and stuff. I mean, I'm not getting into the technicalities of it, but as a manager, especially such a young manager, how tough is it to pick everyone up after that, because you're the best team in the league and you're not getting promoted?
Yeah, it killed me. Absolutely killed me, because, you know, I very nearly refused to take the job when the chairman at the time, Arvon, said, you know, we just want you to finish in the top six, just get your feet under the table. I said, well, no, I'm not taking the job then, because I'm going to go and win the league and you need to back me. And that was my statement. And yeah, to do it the way we did, it was just heartbreaking, really. You know, I was in Euro Disney at the time when the announcement came out. And yeah, my wife keeps reminding me all the time about how I spoilt the holiday. And but yeah, it was gut-wrenching. I remember seeing a picture of Druids celebrating their promotion, and we were 9 or 10 points ahead of them. And yeah, difficult. It was difficult to pick the players up. You know, players came and went because they could, you know, trust issues and things like that. But it was really difficult to pick myself up. But I managed to do so, and you just have to keep going, don't you?
You must have felt like one of the most unlucky people in the world the next season, though, when Prestatyn went on. You know, they were amazing that year. They were, to be fair to them, they were incredible. I remember going to, I think it was in December, you played them at their place, and I think it was 3-2. Oh, it might have been 3-3, actually, but it was one of the best games of football I'd watched. You know, you must have felt, you know, like luck was against you, really, to have them. I think, did they go and beat an all season, or did they only lose one or something like that?
Yeah, they had a great season. They were tough the previous season, to be honest with you. We were always tough games. I always hated playing there as a player, and I always hated going there as a manager because you know you're in for a tough day. But yeah, that second season, I remember like going to places like Penryn Coch, and you know where the previous year you'd have Graham Austin was my captain and probably the best captain that I've ever had the joy of working with or playing with. You know, if we were 1-0 down in games, he'd be geeing the lads up. You know, my job was easy because he would do it for me. And that second season with Ozzy had retired and, you know, going to Penryn Coch 1-0 down, I think, and looking around the changing rooms and the shoulders would be slumped. Like, there was no energy, no enthusiasm, no motivation. And that was because that we'd failed the previous year. So, and it was a really massive struggle for myself to kind of get myself motivated and to get the players motivated. But yeah, press that in that year, that game always sticks out because of Jay's goal from the half volley from the halfway line. But they were unbelievable that year, and that's a testament to Neil Gibson, because I think they finished like seventh in the previous year, and to go and win it the way they did was just fantastic.
And you obviously picked yourselves up for the season after. I mean, you were in great shape, and then obviously, you ended up taking your opportunity to go to Llandudno. I mean, are you able to take some pride in the fact that they did go up in the end? Because obviously, you didn't lead them there, but you pretty much got them there. You know, and you weren't far off.
Yeah, definitely. We decided to let a couple of players go in the summer and freshen things up, and then I did so with my backroom staff as well. I think my assistant at the time left, and I brought Sean Eardley in because, again, I needed someone with energy and, you know, a character to kind of get the lads re-motivated again, if you like. And it worked, but there was still a couple of things in the background that was bugging me and bothering me along the way. And, you know, I'm sure Sean will say the same thing, where it was more than just managing a football team at the time. And that's no disrespect. You know, that's how, you know, football is, but the opportunity to manage the club that I enjoyed my playing career at the most, and I've got loads of friends at Llandudno, still do, and you know, people that mean a great deal to me, like Grant Montgomery's, Sam Williams, you know, Doz Langley, they're really, really close people, and you know, I've fought some battles for that football club, and it was just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. And Sean's done the same now, hasn't he? So it must be a bit of a common path.
And how would you, you know, people say there's no friends in football, and I tend to disagree, really. But you and Sean certainly break that mold, don't you? I mean, you're thick as thieves, aren't you?
Yeah, Sean and me, we go back a long way. You know, Sean was left back when I was the centre forward. Llandudno, and I always cursed him because I knew when he'd opened his body up when he received the ball at Llandudno that he was pinging one down the line, and I would just have to chase balls constantly for 90 minutes, and especially with the wind at Llandudno. I was just running for fun, really. So we've always had a close bond. He's a great character, a great friend of mine, and you know, great friend of the family as well, and just a brilliant individual.
And obviously, your time at Llandudno, I think you'd be the first to say, it was quite challenging, to put it mildly, I guess. You know, looking back, I mean, what would you do differently, if anything?
Oh God, I'd eliminate my personal life for starters. It was quite a rough time in the background. I just couldn't like devote as much time as I wanted to kind of. Because the club was in a bit of a transition period. It was really difficult, really like eerie kind of feeling to the club. They qualified for Europe 2 years before, and then they struggled. They just about stayed up the previous year before I joined. And then, there was just a bit of a rut going on where the players had been there for some time, and they were just used to turning up and going through the motions and going through the same bits. But I wouldn't say I'd change much, because I still believe that I did everything that I could to try and reinvigorate the club. But it was a bit deeper than just the football team itself. It was like, there was a bit of bickering among certain sections amongst the club, which I won't go into. But it was really hard to, you know, like I went into Carnarvon and went in with a one club ethos and managed to pull everyone together in terms of the academy, the fans, the first team, the board, everyone were pulling in the same direction. And I just felt as if when I remember sitting in a meeting with academy coaches trying to outline a vision of how I wanted the club to look like, how I wanted it to be. And I was just, the feeling just wasn't there. Everyone had an opinion and it was just a difficult task, not just coaching games. It was just a difficult task in terms of trying to break that transition, break that mould and reinvigorate the club again.
And obviously you had a job to rebuild the playing staff in a way, didn't you? I mean, I think you only kept, was it two or three from the previous year? You kept Jaggers and Toby, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was quite difficult, really. Quite a surreal time because, you know, people kind of looked at it and think, oh, God, he's releasing everyone. But some of the players released themselves because you know, the budget was cut and, you know, players were used to the wages that they got. And at my, you know, conversation with some of the players were, I can't commit to offering you what you're looking for at the moment because of the situation we were in. So some made the decision for themselves and I made the decision for others, but that's how football goes. And there was experienced players that understood that way of thinking, if you like. So yeah, it was a rebuilding job. I decided to bring two big characters in Kai and Mike Pearson in, and then to try and build around with young lads from the league below who would want to go and have a go. We got off to an okay start, but I think the challenge was just too much for some of them. But again, it just felt there was a massive disconnect again between, you know, the club and the players, and it just felt as if I was fighting a losing battle at the time. But, you know, Erds will change it. There's no doubt about it. Erds will reinvigorate that club now because of his personality and his enthusiasm, and hopefully they'll be back in the Welsh Premier League soon.
And you said right at the start of this, I mean, that you've learnt more from the difficult experiences than you have from the trophies and so on. I mean, what did you learn from Llandudno then?
How to be a strong character. I used to let everything bug me. Everything, like even a comment on social media, something another manager would say, comments from a player, everything would kind of, it would bug me for days. It would give me sleepless nights. So I've learned to have, I think it's Chris Wilder on the Pro License that's taught me how to properly channel energy and how to block negativity out. Because at the end of the day, it's a game of football, isn't it? And there's far, as I know now, there's far greater things to life than just football. So it's just having that siege mentality. And if you know that you're doing your job and that you can do, you're doing it to the best of your ability, then nothing else matters, whether you lose games or whether you win games, because you can only prepare the players as much as you can once they step on, you know, over that white line, then it's up to them. So yeah, just to be, I'm a bit more stronger. Nothing on social media bugs me anymore. You know, I still read some off the covers and stuff, and because of my, you know, my current role with Bangor 1876, and nothing bugs me. I used to come home, it was quite a funny story really, after losing games with Llandudno, which was quite often, as you know. I'd come through the front door, and if we'd lose, I'd go right into the living room to watch the game back or to reflect and write some notes. Or if we'd won or drawn, I'd go straight through to the wife in the back to have a glass of wine. So yeah, I nearly lost my marriage because I was always in the living room for most of the time during my Llandudno career. But now I just come home, the kids take it away from me, and it's a game of football at the end of the day, and that's my kind of mentality now.
We really missed one of your greatest achievements or moments, I guess, in the midst of all that. In the it is where I first met you. I think it was the Welsh Cup semi-final with Carnarvon. I mean, I remember turning up to that training session. It was at Treborth, where we came to do a thing for FAWTV, I think. And I'd not been around many football trainings. You know, believe it or not, I'm not a great football player. As much as you assign me as left back, God knows how many.
Yeah, I think the form's been lost in the post for 4 years, Jim.
COVID's fault. I blame COVID. Yeah. But no, I mean, I remember turning up to the training session. I don't know what I expected ahead of such a big game, but I almost expected a bit of tension, you know, because I know from my own, like, very basic experience of coaching that, like, people don't like when training sessions change, you know, when there's new people there or there's cameras or whatever. But, you know, especially at this level, I don't think people like it. But we turned up, and I think it was Gaz Edwards. He was, you could see that Colgate smile from about a mile away. He was beaming. He was happy as Larry. I think everyone was really, really relaxed and really, you know, aware of where they would go in the game they had in front of them, but they were really, really looking forward to it as well. So how did you develop that culture where they didn't feel the, you know, I'm not saying they didn't feel the pressure, I'm sure they did underneath it all, but how did you develop that confidence in the group to make them just feel so relaxed? And then how much did that semi-final mean to you as well?
Yeah, that was a bittersweet, really, for myself, because I was actually suspended for it. And I think had I not have been suspended for it and had an influence on the touchline, I think we would have closed the game out. And that's not being disrespectful to Colin or to Bala or to Gareth Parry, who I had on the line for me at the time. It's just I could see from where I was sitting how the game was developing. And I would have thrown Danny Sullivan, one of the subs, on and gone five at the back. But that's not to say that Lee Hunt wouldn't have destroyed us, you know, in the last 10 minutes, as he did anyway. But I just, yeah, that is something that I do kind of regret. But we were buzzing going into it. And, you know, one of my kind of ethos as a manager is, and, you know, Colin Caton canes me for it all the time, is I want to be in the trenches with the players. So I have a bit of a friendly kind of relationship with all my players, because I want them to feel as though I'm in the trenches with them. And you know, where Col gives me the advice of you need to step back, you need to step away from him and have that kind of divide, which I am trying to do that now a little bit given my age. And but at the time I was only 29 30. It was about keeping harmony, wanting the players wanting to come to training. And that's the environment we had. The lads never missed a training session. They loved coming. It was small-sided games, tactical work, but it was all done at pace. So I never used to stop sessions. I was coaching as the sessions were kind of developing. And we were a group of friends. We were a group of close-knit friends. And given, you know, the previous year when we lost the domestic license, it kind of, the core players stuck together. And that core were a great group of friends, and they're still a great group of friends. And yeah, we would live and die by each other. And going into that semi-final, I think I only had 12 fit senior players, and players like Lee Fowler, Carl Owen, who came in, signed for me as a favour, as a friend. I thought it was a heroic display for 80 minutes, but I think the occasion and our fitness kind of took its toll in the end. But again, you know, the fitness was down to, because, you know, I remember receiving a text message saying, you know, they're not fit enough. And this was after we lost the game by one of the fans, they're not fit enough. And I think what the Carnarvon fans didn't appreciate at the time, or didn't appreciate as much, was I had to wrap that 11 or 12 up in cotton wool for about 3 or 4 weeks leading up to that game. Because again, you know, we were going into league games thinking, oh, you know, praying that no one got injured, because that was obviously the big one, knowing that Prestatyn were way ahead of us. So it was a bittersweet moment, but a fantastic achievement to get there for the first time in the club's 29 years.
No, it was amazing. And I remember, you know, I've been in that ground. I was in the Bellevue, obviously, and I think all of us couldn't, you know, who watched the games in the summer, the European games, I think we all have our recollection of some Scandinavian fans being there with their drums and their flares and whatever. And we think we've seen it all in terms of how mad the fans could be, but the Cobbies just took the place over, didn't they, to be fair? You know, they were amazing.
Yeah, to be fair to them, they were there. They got to that ground at 10 in the morning. They caught a train, and some of them got to the ground. They put the kits up for us. We were in a hotel in Kimmel Bay, I think, or somewhere around that area. doing our preparation, you know, watching clips, presentation and all that. And they got to the ground, they put the kits up, they put their flags up, and it was just a great day. And yeah, I was gutted that, you know, we just couldn't get there for them. But again, I still think it was a heroic display. We gave a good account of ourselves. And yeah, had we've just been a bit more streetwise in closing the game out, I think we could have gone to the final. But, you know, Colin's a really good mate of mine, and I'm going on Colin's 50th in a month or so. He always reminds me of that game, which I never thank him for. But it was a good occasion all round.
It was, yeah. And I think for me, you know, obviously we're friend of yours and stuff, and we'd like to see you get to a final. But as well, you know, I always say it, and I genuinely mean it, that final that Bala went on to and to win was one of my favourite games of football of all time. You know, I loved that game.
Fantastic. We were there because we got invited. We received a plaque off Chris Coleman and the Welsh FA for, I think it was for the fans' as contribution towards the Welsh Cup and how we'd applied ourselves, and obviously beating Carmarthen and then Rhyl live on telly in such dramatic fashion. And but a fantastic story, and just a shame we couldn't get that one step. But I completely agree with you. What Bala did that day was phenomenal.
You know, there's probably misconceptions about your relationship with Carnarvon, given the you know, you left there and all the banter on Twitter and whatever. But, you know, you love that club, don't you? And you love the time you had there.
I wouldn't say that word because of my affiliation with Bangor 1876 now. But, yeah, they gave me my first time. It was a really successful time. I've still got, you know, close friends there. I'm going running with Kev Bach, in, my midfielder, in a bit. And it was a fantastic, you know, time. And, I'll always be thankful for the way they treated me, you know, from the get-go. But, yeah, I'm with Bangor 1876 now, so if I said that L word, I'm sure I'd be hammered by all the supporters. But, no, I've even, you know, through all the stick I've got, for, you know, through over the last couple of years, you know, it's unprecedented, really, or it's a bit unfair, because as every manager leaves a football club, players want to go with them, you know, because you're the manager who's brought them to the football club. And, you know, I was just, you know, and that was the basis of the anger, I think, where a couple of players wanted. And if the fact of the matter is, not one did, apart from Jay towards the back end after he got sent off somewhere in Flint, I think. And I think that's how football works. People don't know or understand what happens in the background. But again, I've got no bad things, no issues with anyone, you know, with the club. It was a fantastic time. They gave me my opportunity again. And I'll always be grateful for them.
We'll turn to 1876 quickly. I did wonder then, actually, if you were contractually obliged not to say you like Carnarvon, but there we are. You know, you said, I think it was last week when the Tier 3 structure was announced, that you weren't pleased that you weren't in Tier 3, but you were comfortable that you weren't in Tier 3 because you were happier to go and do it league by league and do it properly and so on. I mean, obviously, Tier 3 and Tier 4 aren't in the Cymru Leagues at the moment, but your ambition is to be there in the future. So what are the plans to get Bangor to that level?
My view on it all was that maybe going to Tier 3 now was too soon. You know, we need to learn how to walk before we can run. And although it would have been fantastic for us to be fast-tracked to the Tier 3, and I think it would have been deserved in a way because of the way the club is growing. Not deserved, I don't think deserved is the right word to use, but we are growing rapidly. But we do have to be cautious as a club as well, because you could trip up and fall should you try and rush things through. The team isn't quite ready for Welsh Alliance 3 yet, because we've still got 16, 17-year-olds learning their trade and just come from junior football, and the Gwynedd League has done a massive benefit for them, really, where they've been kicked and hacked and stuff, and they're strong physically now as well as mentally. So yeah, the plan is we're going to get to Cymru Premier one day. When we're going to do it, we're not sure, but we've got a fantastic board, a really workmanlike board. We've got fantastic players, and then the supporters have been, I've never like obviously the Covies are passionate, but these fans of Bangor 1876 have just gone, taken it to another level, because they're still hurting, or I think they're still like emotionally dented, I think, from what's happened with Bangor City, obviously, in the past couple of years. So this has kind of reignited the whole city, and yeah, there's people coming to watch our games that have not been to or have not watched road days. So there's a when you get to Treborth on a match day, the feeling is incredible, and I think we'd be a testament, or you know, to any league that we enter. But we've got a 5-year plan, and that's not just the first team, you know, throughout the club as a whole. And hopefully, at the end of the 5-year plan, we'll see ourselves with the likes of TNS's and Connors Keys up in the Cymru Premier.
And just finally, I mean, we can't have two Ernest Moreland lads on the podcast and not mention the Island Games. To those who don't know what the Island Games are, it's like I called it when we hosted the Island Games football on Ernest Moreland last year, and I called it the World Cup for the small islands of the world, and it's basically for islands of less than 250,000 people, I think, and Anglesey is one of those. And I have no shame in saying it. Last summer, that week that we had last summer hosting the tournament, which the men's team won and the women's team came second, was the best week probably of my life so far. I know you can't say that because you've got kids and a wife. but yeah. it was the best week of my life, anyway. What did it mean to you?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And I'd probably say it in front of my wife as well. But it was just incredible. I think, you know, testament to yourself and people that, the organisers, it was just unbelievable. But again, you know, we've spoken a bit about the players I had at Carnarvon, and that group of players that we had for that tournament were probably the best all-round group and feel into everything. You know, the game plan that we did went against Jersey in the third group game, where they were strong favourites to walk away with the tournament, and we beat them 1-0, was just done to perfection. That's the best I've ever had the privilege of coaching a game plan, and it coming off the way it did. But the whole week was, yeah, unbelievable. Even the final, you know, we were 1-0 down and we were getting battered. I remember saying to Campbell, you know, we need to shut up shop here, just in case it gets embarrassing. We're knackered. You know, we'd played one group game more than Guernsey, I think, and they were really, really strong team. They'd beaten Isle of Man, I think, who were the other favourites, and they got a man sent off. And although they had a man sent off, they had a penalty, and they missed the penalty. Paul Pritch made an unbelievable save. And then we managed to get the lads in at half-time to calm everything down. And we made a tactical substitution at half-time. We gave him instructions again to step in and be a bit more aggressive with the ball. And that game was unbelievable. I think Liam Morris scored the best volley I've ever seen live. And then Mel McGuinness does what Mel McGuinness does in big games and scores the winner. And, you know, to have over 3,500 people there, it was just an incredible story, a fairy tale, really. And again, it goes down to yourself and the organisers, Jamie, you know, because it was, like you say, the best week of my life in football. Well, ever, anyway. But no, yeah, just a fairy tale story.
And the reason I bring it up, people might be listening to this part of the podcast and thinking this has nothing to do with Cymru Leagues, but the reason I bring it up is because I wonder when might we see another Anglesey side back in the Cymru Premier, do you think? Or do you think that's quite a long way off?
Oh, yeah, with my affiliation with Anglesey at the moment, I think it's a long way off, to be honest with you. I think there's just too many teams on the island. There's not enough resource or volunteers to commit to one club to really, really push. I think Holyhead, you know, will have they got the resource? I don't think so. Llangefni, another one who are probably ambitious. But again, there's just not enough people, not enough resource to push these clubs forward. And I think it boils down to, God knows how many teams there are on the island, but there's just so many, and they're all competing against each other. You even see, you know, managers hopping from one club to another, players doing the same, following each other. And yeah, if we could manage to one day try and come up with a solution. I think they tried Llangefni and Glan Traeth as a merger a few years ago, which didn't work. But until the club gets the backing or the right resource or the right people, right volunteers to push, you know, the likes of Llangefni and Holyhead on, then I don't think it'll happen, which is a shame. But they'll be competing in the Cymru North, which is a tough league, good league, and obviously that sits under the JD banner now, JD Welsh Cymru League's banner now. So, yeah, hopefully one day. But again, I think there's a lot of work to be done first before that.
You can go and set up a side and mastermind it all. I'm sure we can find the management staff and everything.
I think that team we had in the Island Games last year would have a go in the Cymru Leagues, no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I've really enjoyed this. I've been wanting to get you on this for a while, as you know. Bit insulted that you almost forgot about it, but there we are. like I said, you know, I've obviously got to know you over about 5-6 years now, become good friends and stuff. And I know you're not in our Cymru Leagues at the moment, you're just below, but I'm sure you'll be back in there very soon. Hopefully not playing. I hope you've had enough of that now.
Yeah, that's been fun.
Yeah. but thank you, Ewan. I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you very much, Jamie. Thanks. Cheers, mate.